the Word of God, life for man in this world is very often likened onto a journey. This journey begins at birth, and it ends the moment we close our eyes in death. In between these two points, our birth and our death, we are travelling upon the road of life. We are walking along the pathway of our earthly pilgrimage. The Lord Jesus, as he preached in the Sermon on the Mount, spoke of how all men, as they travel through this world, are either on the broad way or on the narrow way. And so the Saviour likened life onto a journey on which each and every person is walking on one of two ways. The same idea is also brought before us in many other passages of Scripture. In Proverbs 4, in the verses 18 and 19, we read, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Notice here it speaks of the path of the just and the way of the wicked. Therefore, again, we have this concept that men are travelling through this world, and they're travelling on one of two ways: the path of the just or the way of the wicked. When Jacob, as an old man, came down to Egypt and was brought in before Pharaoh, Jacob described his life in this way, in Genesis 47, verse 9. "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years." Notice how Jacob here referred to his life as a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage. This brings before us the thought of travelling. We are but pilgrims in this world, travelling through. And this is what a pilgrim is. A pilgrim is someone who's travelling, who's moving from one place to the next. And this was how Jacob described his life as he stood before Pharaoh. My pilgrimage, my journey through this world, my travelling has been 130 years. And in Hebrews 12, in the verse 1, God's people are exhorted to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Once more, we have the thought in these words of travelling or running through life. The runner is one who progresses along the way that is set for him until he completes the course. Not the nature of a runner. The runner runs the race. He runs the course that is set for him. And this is how our lives are described as: the race of life, the pathway of life, the course of life. Therefore, life for man in this world is frequently likened unto a journey in the Word of God. It is important to note the reason why God speaks of man's earthly life in this way. It is to teach us that we're all going somewhere. We are all headed for a destination. This is the whole point of a journey, to reach a certain destination. This is why you've arrived at church today. You set off from your home and you've traveled to the destination of the church here. And that was the point of your journey. That was the whole reason why you made this journey, to get to this destination. Well, as life in the Bible is described as a journey, we learn that at the end of life, we will reach our eternal destination. At the end of life's journey, we will reach our eternal destination. Of course, God makes it clear in his word, just as all men are on but one of two ways or paths as they travel through life, so there is but one of two destinations that all men will be found in at the end of life's journey. Christ himself made this abundantly clear, again as he preached in the Sermon on the Mount. For he not only told the people of the broad way and the narrow way, he also told them of the different destinations which those ways lead to. And this is what the Saviour said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. "Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life." The solemn truth is, we are either travelling along the broad way which leads to hell and eternal destruction, or we in this life are travelling the narrow way which leads to heaven and eternal happiness. These words of the Saviour then should cause us to stop and think. And yes, they should stop us to think very carefully. Very, very carefully. Of the particular road that we are travelling through life. and the particular destination that we are headed to. I want each one to think of that even today, just as we commence. Your life is but a journey, and you're headed to a destination. What then is the direction of travel in your life? What is that eternal destination that you're headed to? How carefully and how seriously we need to consider these things. Because the destination that we will arrive in after we close our eyes in death will be our eternal destination. It will either be hell and eternal torment forevermore, or heaven and eternal happiness forevermore. How carefully we need to ponder the journey that we're taking through life. Now today, as we turn to God's word, I want us to think of how the Christian, who is of course on the narrow way which leads to eternal life in heaven, should walk in their earthly pilgrimage. How the believer should actually journey through this life. Yes, we're on a journey. Yes, we're traveling through this world. But how should the Christian walk in their pilgrimage? What should their walk be like? How should they behave and conduct themselves? This is a subject that is very much brought into focus in these words that we have here in Ephesians 5, these words we've read today. Notice in verses 1 and 2, we are told the Christian is to walk in love. It says here in verses 1 and 2, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us. And so we're told here that as we walk through life, as we journey through life as God's people, we are to walk in love. We're to walk in love. Then in verse 8, we're told that we are to walk in light. Notice what it says in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, that was of course before conversion, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And so Paul says not only here to walk in love, but also to walk in light. And so the focus is upon walking here, the manner of our lives in this world, and how we journey along. But then as we come down to verse 15, we see that Paul tells us how the Christian is to walk carefully. How the Christian is to walk carefully. See what it says in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. It is these words which speak of the Christian walking circumspectly or carefully that I want us to particularly think upon today. This is the way we are to journey as God's people through the wilderness of this world. Taking care how we walk. Walking carefully. The subject then before us today is walking carefully in the Christian life. This is to be the manner of our pilgrimage. As we journey through this world, we are to walk circumspectly or carefully. And the word circumspectly here means carefully. It means to walk carefully. This is to be the way we are to live as God's people as we journey through this world. There are three things I want us to note here in this passage about the Christian walking carefully in their lives. Firstly, notice with me here, walking carefully as a Christian involves wisdom. It involves wisdom. See again the words of verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Notice here that walking circumspectly or carefully involves wisdom. And this is what Paul is saying here. Indeed, what Paul tells us is when we don't walk carefully as Christians, when we are careless, when we are sloppy in how we live, then we really behave as fools. And this is what he's saying here. Don't be a fool. Don't be foolish in how you conduct yourself and how you live in this world. But walk carefully. Walk carefully. The biblical example where we see believers who were not walking carefully is found in the church in Corinth. If you turn with me to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 for a minute. Read here of how believers and a fellowship were not walking carefully. And we see here how it was connected to foolishness, lack of wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice what it says in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Notice here Paul speaks of these believers being carnal in their behavior. They were carnal in their behavior because there was among them envy and strife and divisions. They were fighting. This was really a terrible state of affairs that was found within the fellowship at Corinth. They were not in any way walking circumspectly or carefully. The complete opposite. They were envying each other. There was strife and there was divisions. There was not careful walking here in any way whatsoever. But note how in verse 2 this foolish behavior is connected to ignorance. And this is what I want us to note here. It's connected to ignorance and spiritual immaturity. Paul says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. These believers were spiritual infants. They were still childish in their knowledge and ability. And so because of this lack of wisdom, because of this lack of spiritual maturity, they were not walking carefully as individuals or as a fellowship. And if you study into the church that was in Corinth, there was great trouble and great problems in this church. Fighting and division and strife the whole way through the fellowship. But it can all be traced back to this. They were spiritually immature. They were but babes. Foolish and not wise. How important wisdom is in the life of a believer. It is fundamental. Fundamental to holy and happy Christian living. Wisdom is essential. If we are to walk carefully, circumspectly through this wicked world, then we need wisdom. This is so vital. We need wisdom. This is what Christ told his disciples in Matthew 10 verse 16. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And of course he emphasizes there meekness and grace. But he also emphasizes wisdom. You need to be wise in this world. You need to have understanding. We are to walk circumspectly as God's people. Wisdom is fundamental. But then this brings us to consider what is the wisdom that is so important and vital in the walk of the Christian. What is this wisdom? What is this wisdom that we need if we are to walk carefully in the Christian life? Well, we should be clear that it's not the wisdom of this world that the Christian needs to walk circumspectly. It's not the wisdom of this world. Paul told the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. And what Paul is saying is, my preaching is not the wisdom of men. I'm not following the advice of those professors in the universities. I'm not taking my lead from the wise men of this world, the princes of this world, the noble people of this world, the great minds and intellects of this world. This wasn't the wisdom that Paul was following or setting before God's people. Worldly wisdom, the intelligence and learning of men is not that by which the Christian is to live by. Instead, we are to seek a far higher wisdom. Far higher wisdom. We can say the wisdom the Christian needs to walk circumspectly is twofold. It is firstly scriptural wisdom. This is brought before us in verse 17 here in Ephesians 5. Notice what it says in verse 17 in this chapter. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Notice how here wisdom and the will of the Lord are brought together. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Now the will of the Lord for all men is found in the scriptures of truth. And that's what is referred to here. Paul is referring to the scriptures when he speaks here about the will of the Lord. He's not speaking about some mystical will or some secret will that men have to try and delve into and try and work out for themselves. No, he's speaking about God's word, the scriptures. And that's what he's pointing here. We need to understand the will of the Lord. We need to understand the scriptures. You see, it is the scriptures, it is God's word that reveals God's will for men in regard to every area of life. The Scriptures reveals God's word in regard to how we should walk, our behaviour. It reveals God's will in regard to our work, how we should labour and work in this world, how we should worship. Our worship must always be regulated by Scripture. And we must be so conscious of this in these days. As we worship, it must be scriptural worship, or it is idolatry. It is the worship of Cain if it is not built on Scripture. And we must also witness in line with the Scripture as well. As we witness to others, we must take our guidance from God's word. Therefore, the more we know and understand the truth revealed in God's word, then the more we will grow and develop in wisdom, being able to walk carefully in the Christian life. This is what we need to understand. And this is what Paul is saying here. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand the Scriptures. Get a grasp of the book. Study it. This is why it is so important that we daily study the Scriptures and ever seek to bring our lives into conformity to God's word. Because this is wisdom. And this is what we need to walk carefully. Scriptural wisdom. Then the wisdom of the Christian age is not only scriptural wisdom. We can also say it is spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom. Now when I speak of spiritual wisdom, I'm speaking of that wisdom which God, through His Spirit, plants in the heart of His people. God, by His Spirit, gives to His people wisdom. Read of Joshua in Deuteronomy 34 and the verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the Spirit of wisdom. In Luke 2 verse 40 we're told of the Lord Jesus, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. This wisdom that Joshua had, and the wisdom that was found in the Lord Jesus, even as a child, was because of the power of God's Spirit within their lives. Because the Spirit of God dwelt in them in no small measure, particularly Christ, even as a child, they possessed great wisdom. They possessed great wisdom because the Holy Spirit dwelt within them. They were indwelt by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom. This then is the wisdom that the Christian needs to walk carefully in this world of sin. This wisdom that is a gift of God. This wisdom that comes by the help of God's Spirit, by the indwelling of God's Spirit in our hearts and in our minds, that enlivens us and gives us holy thoughts and holy passions and holy desires. James says in James 1 and the verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally and embraceth not, and it shall be given him. Now James here is not referring to the wisdom of the Scriptures, of course. Because we don't need to ask God for that, we've got God's word. But this is the wisdom that comes from God's Spirit dwelling in the heart of an individual. And this is what we need to be seeking for. This wisdom that God giveth. This wisdom that God giveth. You see, it is possible, and I want us to note this, it is possible to know the Scriptures and still be foolish and still behave as a fool. The Jews in Christ's day very much teach us this. These people had the Scriptures. They had scriptural wisdom in the sense that they knew God's word. They were very familiar with the Old Testament Scriptures. They had memorized huge sections of the Old Testament Scriptures. Really, they were experts in it. Many of the Jews. And yet, they were devoid of spiritual wisdom. And that's why they rejected Christ and turned away from Him. Let us then not only study the Scriptures that we might be wise, but also seek after the Spirit of God to illuminate and direct our hearts and minds into true wisdom. This is what we need. And really, you see, this brings us to the point where we're dependent upon God for wisdom. If we are to be wise, we are absolutely dependent upon God for this. We are those that do lack wisdom. That's what James was pointing out there. Because we lack wisdom, we could literally translate it. Let us ask of God, if we are to be a wise people, that we might walk carefully. We need to be a people that are continually looking to the Lord, that He will give to us wisdom. Spiritual wisdom. The wisdom of the Spirit of God. And may it know the Scriptures, understand the will of God, and walk carefully in this life. The more the child of God develops in both scriptural and spiritual wisdom, then the more they will walk carefully in the Christian life. And so walking carefully as a Christian involves wisdom. It involves wisdom. But then in the second place, notice with me here, walking carefully as a Christian involves work. It also involves work. This is brought before us in the words of verse 16 here in Ephesians 5. See what it says in verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We should note in this passage that verses 15 and 16 form part of one complete sentence. One complete sentence. Really, we should read them all together, these two verses together. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. This is one statement that Paul is making here. Therefore, the walking carefully or circumspectly is very much connected to redeeming the time. You can't walk carefully in this world. You can't walk circumspectly unless you redeem the time. These two things really can't be separated. They're together here. Now, the words redeeming the time literally mean to buy up time. To buy up time. And the thought is, we fill up our days in this world in a worthwhile way. We don't waste or squander the time allotted to us in life. This, then, is what is involved in walking carefully in the Christian life. It includes a work. A work. There must be a redeeming of our time. Not squandering, not wasting, not fitting away our days in vain and useless things, but actually applying ourselves to something. It involves a work. And thinking of how the Christian is to redeem their time as they journey through this world, there are two things I want us to note here. Two things. Firstly, we see here the nature of redeeming the time. We must consider the nature of redeeming the time. What do we mean? What do we as God or Christ's people need to do so we might make proper use of our time? God has given to us time in this world. But how can we redeem our time? How can we make proper use of our time and not waste it? Well, there are many things that we could think of. Many, many things. But let me mention three things which are absolutely essential if the Christian is not to waste and squander the time which God gives to them. To redeem our time, we must first of all seek after Christ. We must seek after Christ. That is, we must be a people that are continually engaged in worship. We are to be a people that do not waste our time. We must be a worshipping people. The truth is, worship, seeking after God, is the most important and profitable use of our time. And often people don't realize this. This is the most profitable. This is the most useful way we can spend our time. Worshipping God. Remember the first question in the Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man? What's his chief purpose? The answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. To glorify God. This is his chief purpose, his chief end. We read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, to all to the glory of God. This is really telling us that our whole lives should be filled with worship. I'm not saying that we should spend all of our time in church or all of our time on our knees praying or studying our scripture, or studying the scriptures. Of course, this is not sensible. But it is saying this. In all that we do, we are to do so to God's glory. In all that we do, we are to do it to God's glory. That is, that we are to have lives that worship Him in all that we do. Seek after Him in all that we do. You see, this is how we redeem our time. Even in the workplace. Even at home doing chores. Even in recreation. We do it all to the glory of God. This is our chief end. And so therefore, if we are to redeem the time, we must seek after Christ. We must worship Him continually. If we are to redeem the time, we must strive to be like Christ. Strive to be like Him. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Notice what it says here from verse 11 down to verse 14. There's very much a thought here in this passage of time as well. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And what? Knowing the time. Notice how there's this reference to time here. And what? And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. And so Paul is speaking about using time here. Been diligent with our time. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness. Nor in chambering and wantonness. Not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Notice here how we are to spend our time. How are we to do it? Casting off the works of darkness and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's exactly what Paul is saying here. He's saying, be aware of the time. Be awake to this reality, believer. And in light of time, cast off the works of darkness and put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, strive to be like the Savior. Strive to be like the Savior. Understand this, child of God, not to strive daily to be more and more like Christ is to waste time. And it's to waste it badly. So badly. In the most horrific way. This is what we should daily strive to do. Put off the works of darkness. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to redeem our time, we must seek after Christ. We must strive to be like Christ. Also, we must serve Christ. Turn with me now to Colossians chapter 4. And again, this verse very much brings before us redeeming time. Colossians chapter 4 and the verse 5. Notice what it says here, Colossians 4 verse 5. Paul speaking to God's people says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Another reference here to redeeming the time. The words to walk in wisdom refer to living a life that will be a witness to those around us who are yet in their sin. And that's the thought here. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without. He's really speaking about how we are to live in such a way, to walk in such a way, to conduct ourselves in such a manner that our lives will be a witness to the unsaved, those without the church. Outside the church, yet in their sin. This is how we redeem the time, serving Christ. If in life we are not continually seeking after Christ, and I want you to understand this today. If in life if we are not continually seeking after Christ, striving to be like Christ, and serving Christ, then no matter what else we do, and no matter how successful we might be in the eyes of men, we are not redeeming the time. In fact, we're wasting time. We're wasting time. This is how we redeem the time. This is the nature of redeeming the time. In short, it is living for Christ. That's how we redeem the time. Living for Christ. That's how we do not squander away our days. And our weeks and our months. We live for Christ. And so as we think here about redeeming the time, we have the nature of redeeming the time. But I also want us to think here about the need to redeem the time. This is brought before us in the closing words of verse 16 in Ephesians 5. Notice what it says there at the very end of verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. This is why the Christian must be careful. Or walk carefully, redeeming the time. It is because the days are evil. The word evil here literally means hurtful. The days are hurtful. And so the thought is the Christian must walk carefully, using their time wisely. For there is much in this world that can cause hurt and damage. And that's what Paul is saying to these people here. Walk carefully, redeem the time. Because there's much that can cause hurt and damage as you journey through this world. You see, when we don't use our time wisely, it's not only to be wasteful, it will inevitably lead to wickedness. When we don't use our time wisely, it is wasteful, yes, but it most surely will lead to wickedness. Remember what happened to King David when he fell into sin with Bathsheba. That was such a sad episode in the life of the great King David, a godly man. And yet his life has this scar upon it. This terrible scar upon it. Fell into deep sin. Wicked sin. But this sin that David fell into, how did it commence? It commenced with David not redeeming his time. That's how it commenced. Listen to the words of 2 Samuel 11 verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, and David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. Think of those words. David had sent his men, Joab, to go and fight God's battles. And then it tells us, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. As king of Israel, as God's anointed leader, it was his job, his responsibility to lead God's people, particularly in battle against the heathen enemy. This was his God-given role. This was the task that God had set him to do. But at this point, he tarried still in Jerusalem. And while he remained in Jerusalem, not redeeming the time, it was then that he spotted Bathsheba and fell into his adultery and even into his murder. There is much truth in the well-known saying, the devil always finds work for idle hands to do. He always finds work for idle hands to do. Oh, we must redeem the time. Because there's hurtful dangers. And when we don't redeem the time, we will fall into them. We will fall into them. Think of how much time can be spent at a television set. Or on the internet. Think of that. On our phones, these gadgets that we have, and with all this information just pumped at us and so easily available. Yet so often as we view these things and we sit before them, we're not redeeming the time. And because we're not redeeming the time, we are so susceptible to falling into sin. We live in evil days. That is without doubt. Therefore, as God's people, we must fill up our time with work that is good and godly. That's what we must do. This is how we can walk carefully in the Christian life. This is how we can walk carefully. By engaging in good and godly work. Redeeming the time. So we have here, walking carefully in the Christian life involves wisdom and involves work. One last thing, notice with me here, walking carefully as a Christian involves watchfulness. It involves watchfulness. The word circumspect in verse 15, as well as containing the idea of walking carefully, also means walking exactly. Walking exactly. And the thought is, as we tread the pathway of this world, we must ever be on alert and vigilant with each step that we take. Not just plundering along any old way in the Christian life, but being watchful and attentive in how we live. And this is what Paul is saying here. We are to be exact in our walking. We are to be careful and watchful and on alert. The idea of watchfulness is often expressed in the New Testament through the word sober. The word sober. For example, we read in 1 Thessalonians 5 in the verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us be sober. And in 1 Peter 5 and 8, Peter says to God's people, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The person who is sober is serious. They're attentive in what they do, and they're very alert to what's happening around them. That's the nature of a sober person. They're serious, they're attentive, and they're alert to what is happening around them. Of course, the contrast to a sober person is a drunk person. They're the opposite of this. They stagger around and they bump into things and they're careless and they're so unaware of what is happening around them. Their senses are all dulled by the alcohol. But the Christian is to be sober. Sober in how they live. This is how they are to walk, watchful and sober. Of course, walking in a sober or watchful manner implies there are dangers to be avoided. And the Word of God brings before us many dangers and hazards that we must be alert to as we travel along in the Christian life. Let me mention a few of the most common dangers. There's the danger of coldness. Well, if we are to walk carefully, we must be aware of the danger of coldness. This is what Christ pointed out to the believers in the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2. He said to them, "Thou hast left thy first love." Not lost your first love, because you can't lose it. It's always there. But they'd left it. They'd left it. They'd grown cold in heart. Their love for Christ wasn't what it once was. How we need to be watchful in regard to this pitfall in the Christian life. Is this a snare that you have been taken in even recently perhaps? Coldness? Spiritual coldness? There's the danger not only of coldness, but the danger of carnality. Putting the things of this world, the possessions and pleasures of this world before God. Here is a real danger we must be vigilant of. We must be sober in regard to this. Carnality, the things of this world. Lot was a believer who stumbled on the stone of carnality. Think of that. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. He coveted the well-watered plains of Jordan. And this was the course that he set his life upon. And this was the course in which his family was destroyed upon. We need to be aware of watchful in regard to carnality. Then there is the danger not only of coldness and carnality, but of conceit. Conceit is the condition of thinking too highly of self. It is to be proud of self and overconfident in your own ability. And this too is a great danger in the Christian life. Pride can come in. And we think that in our pride we are strong enough and we can stand in our own ability and strength. Remember what Peter said to Christ when Christ warned him that he would betray him? What a warning that was. Imagine the Savior giving you a direct warning. Peter got a heads up on what was going to happen. It was really a most privileged position he was given in regard to this matter. But Peter said to the Savior, after he was given this warning from Christ, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." You see, Peter was so confident in his own ability. So much so, he just dismissed Christ's word. And he boasted himself, "Oh, listen, I'll not fall. I know what you're saying. But I'll not deny you, and I'll have to die with you." You see, he was so full of conceit in his own heart. So full of his own ability and strength. He thought so much of himself. That he really said, "Listen, that's not going to happen." And we know, of course, that it did happen. He denied the Lord. How often pride causes the Christian to stumble and fall. Conceit in the heart. When we neglect our Bibles, and when we neglect the place of prayer and the place of worship, that can all be traced back to this pride, conceit in the heart. We are saying we don't really need to continue in fellowship with Christ. We can survive the day without Him. As we get up in the morning and go out to work or get on with our activities without asking for God's help or saying, "Listen, we don't really need the Lord. We're big enough to stand on our own two feet." That's pride. And that's a dangerous position to live in. But to walk carefully as God's people, we need to be watchful in regard to these dangers and many, many other dangers as well that lie across our path as we journey towards glory. We need to be watchful. Walking circumspectly then involves wisdom, the wisdom of God. It involves work, redeeming our time. And it involves watchfulness, being alert to the dangers that are all around us. Let us then keep these things before us as we journey along the road of life. As we journey towards our eternal destiny as God's people. Let us not only walk in love and in light, but carefully. Let us walk carefully. In wisdom and in work. And being watchful. May God be pleased to bless His truth to our hearts today for His own name's sake. Amen.